It was a joint family where we grew up. All the friends were Indian, and as it was in India, the society was like a small family. The neighbors were friendly and helpful to each other. It was like one small family.
Welcome to the first episode of this oral history podcast series, produced for Academy's Heritage Project and funded by the National Lottery Heritage Fund. As part of this multi-layered project, which began in November 2020, Academy has worked with three schools across London and Cambridge to deliver a series of oral history workshops to students aged 8 to 21. This episode will showcase just a few of the amazing oral histories gathered by pupils at Krishnavanti Primary School in Harrow, North London. Throughout five workshops, students learned about oral history interviewing techniques and explored themes of migration, culture, and identity. The first clip we'll listen to is Rian interviewing Rajesh. Rajesh was born in Mombasa, Kenya in 1958. In our workshops, the pupils at Krishnavanti thought about different themes that we could talk about in an oral history interview. Everyone agreed that childhood memories were a good place to start. So here Rajesh talks about his memories of growing up in Kenya and what he got up to as a child.
What do you remember about your early years?
My early years? Wow, they were the times when children used to be out and about, outside home, away from the TVs and tablets and mobile phones. We used to have a great time playing with marbles, flying kites, playing all sorts of games we can only play in the open fields. We used to be out in the woods to climb trees and go to the oceans to swim, without any fear or worries.
What particular moments of the schooling life do you remember most?
The moments I remember most is during my early high school days, when, as a group, we used to organize camping outings and also sports outings, when we used to visit neighboring towns. In those towns, we used to have schools play different sports against our school. Those were really good times when we used to be out and about in different towns.
Everyone thought carefully about who they wanted to interview. Jill decided to interview her neighbour, June, who was only 5 when World War II broke out. She wanted to know how the war affected her, so she asked clear, direct questions to find out more information about the topic she wanted to discuss.
I was 5 when it started. Just 5. Because it started in the September and I was 5 in the June. So I was quite young still. I didn't really understand, except I knew that a war was one country against another. That's all I knew, really. And the frightening thing was, I think it was the 3rd of September when it started, and it started by everybody hearing the air raid warning.
I wanted to ask you if you could talk about what you did during the World War II and basically how it affected your life, meaning changes in your life because of the war.
Right at the beginning, that it was said that the children could be evacuated to away from London.
Oh yeah, now I remember that there was evacuation.
That's right.
During the war.
Away from London, because London was getting it with the bombs and that. Dad and Mum decided that I could go because I was only 5. But my brother, who was 13, he didn't want to go, and he was old enough to say, "I don't want to go." So he wouldn't have to go. He would stay with Dad, but I would go with Mum. So Mum said, it'll be like a holiday. You'll enjoy it. It'll be lovely. So we packed our bag. We have one bag between us. And we had to go and register at Park High School. And it wasn't called that then. But that's where we had to go. So we walked all the way to Park High School. When we got there, they said, yes, okay, name. And I had to give my name. How old is she? So Mum said, she's just five. Oh, no, she can't. You can't go with her then. She'll have to go on her own. Children over five had to go on their own.
Children, you were just at the age.
Children under five could go with their mother. So my mother said, oh, well, then scrap it because I'm not. She's not going on her own. And with that, we went back, came back home.
As well as talking about the childhood hobbies of their interviewees, students also talked about their interviewees' current hobbies. Here, Shreya asks Sonali about how life is different in the UK to India, and Sonali talks about her hobby of Indian classical dance.
Okay, tell us more about how life in UK is different in comparison to India.
It's a lot of difference because culture-wise, first of all, in India you celebrate a festival with your family around. It's completely different environment and vibrations. In India, due to weather, you don't celebrate it the way you celebrate in India. But still, this country, you can see Mayor of London celebrating Diwali on Mela on Trafalgar Square. So I'm a performer, so I go and perform every 2 years at Diwali on Mela, which is happening at Trafalgar Square. So yeah, kind of, little bit. But it's good.
Okay, in terms of weather, do you like our weather here in London or the weather in India?
No, India, come on. It's like 42 degree, 45 degree in India. You are having really nice vitamin D in front of the sun. And in here, if you go and look out for a sun within 2 seconds, it goes away. So you have to go after the sun to get nice, vitamin D.
Okay, what activities do you do now?
I'm a classical dancer and I love dancing. If you tell me, Shreya, can you dance on the road? If there's music on, I can dance there. I love dancing.
Which classical dance do you do?
I learn Kathak.
In our workshops, pupils learned about migration and we talked about the many different reasons why people migrate. Siana's interviewee, Sharmila, was born in Sri Lanka, then fled to India because of war before moving to the UK when she was 18. Here she talks about her experiences of fleeing and her new life in the UK.
Yes, I was very scared. Yeah, that was a really, very hard time. I was separated from my family. My sister and I were stuck in one place and my parents were somewhere else. And we knew that they were alive, but they didn't know whether we were alive. And so that was a very traumatic time for us all. I was just glad to get out alive, really. We lost everything. So we had nothing when we left. So everything we had, our home, our belongings, we couldn't take that with us.
How did you build up your life in London, like knowing that you didn't have anything there? You had left all your things in Sri Lanka and...
Well, that was hard because we were really poor. I had no money, and neither did my parents, and we had a lot of problems. We didn't get benefits and things as soon as we arrived. We just had to find work. I worked, and I was very young. I started working straight away, and I worked a lot. Sometimes I worked 7 days a week. So I was just so tired because I was working all the time. I didn't really have much time to to think about anything. It was just getting up, going to work, and without any rest until our papers, our documents, and all of that came through, and we had some support financially. Those were very hard years. I don't think I really enjoyed it.
Throughout the project, lots of the students wanted to find out the differences between life in the UK and their interviewees' lives back home. In this clip, Shivani interviews Atula about how she felt when she moved to the UK on her own to study when she was 16.
How did you feel like you had to move without your parents and you're going to go and study?
I was quite excited, and I had an uncle here, his name was Sashi, and I stayed with him, and they were just like my parents, they were really super.
Leaving your brother behind and your pastimes and where you were from, how did it feel leaving all of that? And
I didn't feel that I was quite ready to start a new phase in my life and new things.
And when you moved to England, was there any problems you faced or challenges that you overcame?
I think finding a college, and then my uncle helped me do that. And then I got quite used to that. I had a friend living with me, which is my best friend for the last 45 years. She lives in Nairobi. So we always went in the morning, she met me, we traveled in the bus together halfway. So that was quite good. And in the evening, we timed it in a way that we'd meet at the station and come home together. Apart from that, I think, and the food was a problem because I was vegetarian, and in 1972, 73, 70s, vegetarian wasn't a big thing, but I survived. And it was a big growing up curve to be on my own and to fend for myself, which was, I think, the best thing I've done, and it's made me really strong.
Next, we hear from Fadila, who came from Iraq to London. After her migration, she faced many challenges, which she explains here. She began to work in childcare, and although she used to be a journalist back home, she enjoys her new career path. She also raises her two daughters here in London. In this clip, Lillian interviews Fadila about her thoughts and feelings after migrating to the UK.
When you came to London, did you face any problems?
I faced two main problems. First thing, I have a problem with language, and still I have a problem with language because my first language is Arabic. And the second problem, the culture and the law.
Did you like this country?
Yes, this country give me a lot of things. I can't take it from my country. They give me nationality, which is I spent all my life without nationality. They teach me how to respect other people, what matter if they are black or white or in different nationality or different believer, which is, yes, I have master degree as a journalist, but this country teach me how to change my mind, how to change my thinking, actually.
In our workshops, we also talked about objects and how they can hold special memories for us. In this next clip, Shreya asks her interviewee Ravina about objects and what significance they have for her, especially the souvenirs from her favourite holiday to Mexico.
Now, on your travels, do you collect things to remind you?
Yeah, so I think from every holiday that I've been to and every trip I've been to, I like to collect little souvenirs. Just little keepsakes that are reminders. And often if there's things like little tickets and things, I keep them on a memory board in my room.
You have a memory board?
Yeah, so I use that memory board for things whilst both travelling here and travelling around the UK as well as abroad.
What was the souvenir you got from Mexico?
The souvenir that I got from Mexico was, so I got a little souvenir dish which had So it was made out of sand, and it was, and it had the name of a country engraved in the year. So it was a little reminder of when we went there.
Some of the pupils at Krishnaravanti used their oral history interviewing skills to find out about people's thoughts about the COVID-19 pandemic. Rahi's interviewee works as a pharmacist, and here she talks about what she enjoys about her job, as well as the challenges she faced throughout the pandemic.
What do you enjoy about the pharmacy and why?
I enjoy everything about pharmacy, really. There are days which are sometimes really busy and a lot of, you know, problems you need to solve. Some days are easy, like really easy and just simple to follow. I really enjoy talking to the customers and helping them with the medication and helping them understand the medication. And that's what is really satisfying about my job as well, when you see happy people and happy patients leave your pharmacy. But yeah, so that's the main reasons why I enjoy it, because it's just patient satisfaction. And, you know, knowing that you've helped someone makes you feel good.
Okay. Due to COVID-19, has it been busier or have you been, like, has it been busier from, like, the past few years?
Definitely. These last 6 or 7 months, we've been, you know, working more hours, longer hours, a lot more work during our working hours, especially during the lockdown. You know, obviously COVID, you know, during the COVID pandemic, a lot of people, especially the old people, had to shield, which means they had to stay at home. So our deliveries became a lot more, you know, patient, making sure we, our patients were still getting the medication on time, making sure they're getting the right medication. So we became a lot more involved, and obviously then flu season started. So we know flu vaccination season. So then I administered the flu vaccination to patients. So I have to make sure that everyone was accounted for, and everyone that was vulnerable and who should receive the flu vaccine is vaccinated. So yeah, it was a lot of demand and a lot of work over the last few months.
The pandemic changed the way we all work, live and study. But we hope that these oral histories inspired students to learn more about their culture, family and community history, as well as sharing these stories in this podcast. Our workshops were held online via Zoom during the COVID-19 pandemic. Some of the interviews were also conducted online in accordance with COVID-19 guidelines. Thank you for listening to this episode of Academy's Oral History Podcast. Find out more about the project and Academy's work creating, commissioning and nurturing South Asian dance in the UK, please visit www.academy.co.uk. Thank you once again to our funders, the National Lottery Heritage Fund, and to students and staff from Krishnaravanti Primary School for your support and hard work throughout the project.